I'm Ron DeLegge, inventor of the Portfolio Report Card, which tells you if your investment plan is on or off track. No more guessing about your investment portfolio's fees, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started. Find out if your IRA, 401k plan, and investment account passes or fails. Take off the blinders and invest with confidence. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started and find out if your investment plan passes or fails.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron
DeLegge.
All right. Welcome to the program. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Coming up on today's show, Portfolio Report Card for FD in Heartland, Wisconsin. He's 55 years old. He's a commercial real estate broker. And we're going to analyze and grade his 300 retirement account. Now, it consists of three traditional IRAs, one SEP IRA. He's an aggressive growth investor. But now the question is he too aggressive? And does his $381,000 portfolio pass or flunk? Find out on today's show, Portfolio Report Card for FD. Also coming up, we're going to give you a breakdown of what's going on in the major and key financial markets across the globe, including stocks, bonds, equities. And we'll also get you caught up on some of the things that I think you should be aware of, namely NASDAQ 5000. Did I say that correctly? NASDAQ 5000, can you believe it? Back to the future. And three ageless lessons for all of us for NASDAQ 5000. So let's give you a quick recap and bring you up to speed what's going on with the U.S. market. We'll start there, finishing the week lower. And on a year-to-date basis, total U.S. stock market, which encompasses large, mid, and small company stocks, still edging out a gain of 1.3%. VTI is the ETF that tracks this. That's the Vanguard Total U.S. Stock Market ETF. Also, Friday payrolls had a larger than expected increase, and that really sent the bond market in a tailspin. Bonds on a year-to-date basis are pretty much flat, and we see especially long-term U.S. Treasury bonds really getting clobbered. And so this is an area that, as many of our listeners have known, we've been talking about. It's done well. It did well in 2014. It was outstanding. In fact, the long-term U.S. Treasury bonds outperformed stocks. But this year, it's been a completely different story. And really, one of the dynamics happening is lower bond prices. And we see interest rates creeping up just a little bit. And so that, of course, has sent bond prices heading downward. And this has been an interesting place if you've been short this particular area over the past, let's say, week. It's an area that's proving to be a pretty good place to be. TMF is one of the ETFs that aims for triple daily inverse performance to long-term U.S. Treasuries. TMF, put that particular ETF on your radar screen. If we see any further weakness in bonds, especially long-term bonds, TMF is going to be a really, really good performer. Now, elsewhere, in some of the industry sectors, when we look underneath the market, the broader market, you take a look at which industry sectors are still holding up and outperforming the broader U.S. stock market. And there's a couple of really standouts that I need to mention. The first one is healthcare stocks, XLV, which tracks S&P healthcare companies. You've got Pfizer and Merck and Abbott Laboratories. These are some of the giants inside XLV. And that particular ETF ahead by 4.5% since the beginning of the year, easily outperforming the S&P 500. Also, you've got the technology sector, which is having a pretty good year, up about 2.5% and also outperforming. And then one last sector, XLB, which tracks materials. This is what you might say a commodity-linked sector because most of the companies in this particular ETF are involved in whether it be mining or chemicals or paper and forestry. These are very closely related to commodities and very connected, interrelated. So XLB doing pretty good, up almost 4% since the beginning of the year. So that's what's going on as far as industry sectors. We'll get you caught up on what's happening elsewhere in broader markets in a little bit. And if you'd like to join the program, you can email us, ron@indexshow.com. You can also tweet the program live, @indexshow. That is my Twitter handle. And be sure when you email, put your first name along with your city, and I will get to you. If you want to get a portfolio report card, and the response has been tremendous. I've been overwhelmed by requests for portfolio report cards. But if you want to get an analysis done where I analyze and grade your portfolio and tell you the strengths and the weaknesses of what's going on with your entire portfolio, I look at the entire thing. I analyze your portfolio in five areas: cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance. And then you get graded in each of those areas, and then, of course, that adds up to be a final grade. If you'd like to find out how you do, just go to portfolioreportcard.com and get in touch with me. I grade taxable investment accounts as well as tax-deferred accounts. It could be a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan. It can also be a family trust account that you inherited. Anything that's posing as an investment, I can analyze and grade. Also, you should know that I grade all size portfolios, and we grade portfolios. Let's see. So far, I've graded over $50 million worth of investment portfolios, and in 2015, we will cross $100 million of analyzed and graded portfolios that Ron DeLegge has done. So if you'd like to, again, see how you're doing, go to portfolioreportcard.com. So we saw the NASDAQ Composite Index just cross 5,000, back to the future. Other yardsticks like the Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 also sit atop multi-year highs. And everything that is old and worn out is suddenly new and exciting. See skinny jeans and venture capital. All of us are 15 years older since the NASDAQ passed 5,000 for the first time. But the question is, are we smarter? And in case your common sense, also known as sense of common sense, isn't kicking in, here's a few ageless lessons, and I'm going to just give you a couple, to help you navigate NASDAQ 5000. The first lesson is to sell when you can, not when you're forced to. So if you're sitting on any highly appreciated assets that have benefited from a rising market, I'd like to be the first to congratulate you. You got lucky, you were blessed, or both. But paper profits don't count because real profits only happen when you take them. Ta-da! So the question then becomes, when's the best time to sell? Well, since nobody can agree on that answer, let's reframe the question. When is the best time not to sell? Well, naturally, it's when you're forced to sell because your investments are A, losing value, or B, you need the money. You sell before you need to sell. Sell before A, you're losing money, or B, you need the money. And so that's lesson number one of NASDAQ 5000. I'm going to give you a couple of other ageless lessons for NASDAQ 5000. The first, again, sell when you can, not when you're forced to. Ron@indexshow.com is my email address. My Twitter handle, @indexshow. Coming up on today's program, I'll be doing a portfolio report card for FD in Heartland, Wisconsin. He is a commercial real estate broker. He's an aggressive growth investor. And does his current investment holdings, and we're going to look at them all together on today's show, are they compatible with who he is as well as his age? Well, we're going to analyze and grade his portfolio. It is a $381,000 portfolio. It's divided into four accounts, three traditional IRAs, one SEP IRA, and we're going to look at some of the holdings. At Index Show is my Twitter handle if you want to get in on the fun. Ask me a question. Throw me a ticker symbol. I'll be happy to address that. And you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. I'll be right back. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge, and we're doing a portfolio report card for FD in Heartland, Wisconsin. He's 55 years old. He's a commercial real estate broker, and he's married. And we're going to give you a little bit of a background before we delve into his actual grading of the five key areas that analyze and all grade all portfolios on. And those five areas, just so you know, are cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance. And those five things, by the way, are the only things that matter with regard to all investment portfolios. After these five things, there is nothing else that matters when it comes to your money and investing. Cost, risk, tax efficiency, diversification, and performance. Okay, so you know that. So here's the background on FD. He's got three traditional IRAs. He's got one SEP IRA. And he is an aggressive growth investor. Now, I know that because one of the questions that I asked him, well, what's the main goal of your investment strategy? What are you trying to achieve? And he said, very plain and matter-of-factly, he wants to receive a greater than average return and continuously grow his assets. So one of the areas that I asked him, you know, what besides that is what best describes his investment objective. And he told me to growth assets that seek high capital appreciation with no current income objective. And that's what he's looking for. He also expects to have high volatility. He said that's okay because he's a long-term investor who plans on holding these investments 10 years or longer. He said that he considers himself relatively knowledgeable and even admitted, well, yeah, that's true. I'm fairly aggressive. I asked him also, what is his main investment worry? What is something that keeps him up at night? And he said that having enough to retire at age 70 is one of his prime concerns. And also he mentioned that a long-term stock market collapse would also be an obvious worry point or concern. So that is that's what's going on with kind of a profile on him. And also another thing I should mention that he co-manages his investments with the help of a financial advisor. So let's take a look at some of FD's specific holdings. Now, as I mentioned, he's got three traditional IRAs, one SEP IRA, and this is what he's got. He's got an AIG Polaris Choice 4 variable annuity. And he, in that particular product, he's got just over $200,000. So that's actually where the bulk of his money's at, in that AIG Polaris variable annuity. Then he's got around $40,000 in a Pacific Life SEP IRA, and then he's got another IRA with American Funds, which is actually a rollover, and he's got just over $140,000 inside that particular IRA. So, actually, he gave me, let's see, two IRAs and one SEP. So, actually, I stand corrected. We're going to be analyzing two IRAs and one SEP, not three IRAs. So, let's take a look at the American Funds IRA. Now, this is a rollover, so it was in a 401k plan, and then he rolled it over into an IRA, and current value is $140,000. So, he's got it divided among six different mutual funds, and they're all American funds. And I'm going to give you the ticker symbol. His biggest holding is ticker symbol AM PCX. He's got around 21% exposure to that particular mutual fund. That one covers U.S. stocks. He's got BALCX, around 10.5% there. AIPCX is another fund that he owns, which has exposure to international growth stocks. He's got almost 15% there. IGICX is one of his other holdings. He's got almost 19% exposure there. AICCX, almost 20% exposure to that one. That also is to U.S. stocks. And NPFCX, he has got about 15% exposure there, again, to U.S. stocks. So what is the first grading category? It's cost. So he owns American funds, and currently FD paid to get into these American funds a 1% sales load. So he paid that. That came off the top. And on average, his ongoing expenses with all of these funds that he owns on this $140,000 is around 1.5% in ongoing annual expenses. Now, the AIG Polaris annuity that he owns, he pays another 1.9% in operational fees. And on top of that, somewhere between 75 basis points all the way up to almost 1.75% in investment management fees. So we've got some issues here when it comes to cost in FD's portfolio. His cost is around 2.5%. That's his ongoing cost just to own these investments, which is rather elevated and, by the way, completely unsatisfactory. So he flunks on cost. I mean, his current cost structure, just to put this in perspective, if FD averages an 8% return over the next 10 years with his current cost structure and these very high expensive funds that he owns and these variable annuities, an 8% return over the next 10 years, he'll wind up with $591,000 versus $734,000 with our annual cost benchmark of just under 0.25% or 20 basis points. So that's the cost benchmark that we use that matches up with his current asset mix. And it is, by the way, index ETFs that we're using as the benchmark. And so on cost, certainly not a good start for FD. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card, go ahead, be my guest. PortfolioReportCard.com, go there. And by the way, if you get an A, I pay you $100. We haven't had too many A's, but they do occur. And when they occur, it's quite a delight, because that means I call out the Portfolio Report Card marching band and they play their music. And no, I'm not going to play their music right now, but before the day is over, I probably will, just so that you can hear how good they are. So PortfolioReportCard.com. Again, if you get an A, I pay you $100. So far, FD in his first category in terms of cost has not done a good job of minimizing his investment cost. Next up is diversification. The definition of a truly diversified portfolio should be pretty clear by now, but if it's not, let me just say what it is. It's broad diversification, broad exposure to all the major asset classes. That includes stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. Those are the five biggies. And you can subdivide those up too, by the way, into domestic and international for stocks and bonds. That's a quite excellent thing to do. But in terms of diversification, this portfolio, combined portfolio that FD has, does have exposure to U.S. and international and emerging market stocks. That's good. He's also got exposure to bonds and cash. So well done. Nevertheless, FD does miss two major asset classes. He misses commodities and real estate. Wait a second. Real estate? He's a commercial real estate broker. How could he possibly miss real estate in his portfolio? That's a major asset class. Additionally, this portfolio is cluttered and over-diversified. He owns too much of the same thing. I mean, four of his American funds have exposure to U.S. stocks. And that, by the way, is what we call over-diversification. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. We'll finish off FT's portfolio report card coming up next.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
Okay, I'm doing a portfolio report card for FT in Heartland, Wisconsin. He's got a $381,000 investment portfolio. It's divided into traditional IRA, a SEP IRA. And we've already looked at two areas. We looked at the cost, where he flunked his portfolio. He's averaging 1.5% in ongoing annual expenses. Plus, he paid a 1% sales load to get into these American funds. And it's just a lot of unnecessary expenses and costs that he's added to his burden. You could think about investment costs in terms of, listen, we're all involved in what we might say is a marathon race, okay? So the investment costs that we bear, we want to make those costs as light as possible. Because if we're running a marathon race, we don't want to pile onto our back, let's say, the kitchen sink and the sofa and the television and the family heirlooms, right? Grandfather clock. I mean, there's no way in the world you're ever going to win a marathon race with all those things piled onto your back. It's just too heavy of a burden. And so investment cost is the same concept. We are in a marathon race in terms of investments. He who has the lowest cost is he who gets ahead. And so if you're going to win the race, it is an absolute fundamental truth that cannot be challenged or denied that your investment cost should be minimal. And it's not just your fund expenses. There's other factors that are at work, minimizing commissions, minimizing B-52 fees, also known as 12B-1 fees. I call them B-52 fees because they bomb your investment portfolio. So avoiding these types of frictional costs that reduce your net returns is something that behooves all investors. And I don't care if you're an experienced investor or if you're new. So not a good job in terms of cost for FD. In terms of diversification, this too is a major shortcoming in FD's portfolio. He's a commercial real estate broker. His portfolio is missing exposure to commodities and to real estate, which is kind of puzzling because he's in the real estate business. Why would he miss a major asset class like real estate? And so the question is, why isn't this a part of his overall investment portfolio? It should be, even if he owns properties. Let's say he's got a rental property or home, he should still have exposure to REITs because REITs are invested in a different aspect of real estate that most individual investors do not have exposure to. So that's a major shortcoming. And then, of course, I think probably even more problematic is what we call over-diversification. And he's just got way too many funds that own the same thing. And this is one of the problems with many portfolios where investors own multiple mutual funds that if you look underneath the ticker symbols and see what these funds actually own, you'll see that they're holding some of the same stocks. And so this is not what we call diversification. Diversification is all about owning different kinds of assets, a variety of assets with different fund tickers, not different fund tickers with the same types of holdings. So definitely needs to make some improvements there. Next up is risk. And risk is all about having a portfolio that properly aligns and is compatible, not just with how you describe yourself, but also a portfolio allocation that is age appropriate. Now, one of the problems I see when I do these portfolio report cards is age inappropriate investment portfolios. In other words, a person that may be, let's say, 70 years old with a portfolio allocation risk-wise of a 40-year-old. It's age inappropriate. They're probably taking too much risk. So in terms of risk and FD's portfolio, his overall asset mix is the following. Now keep in mind, he's 55 years old. He is an aggressive investor, but this is his overall asset mix of these two traditional IRAs and this one SEP IRA. He's got 85% exposure to stocks, that's to U.S. and international stocks, 14% exposure to bonds, and 1% exposure to cash. Now, this is a hyper-aggressive asset mix that, based upon what I can see, is not age-appropriate for late 50s investor that would consider themselves aggressive. A 20 to 40% correction would subject FD's portfolio mix, his current mix, to approximately $75,000 to $150,000 in market losses. And that would be a major, major blow. And he even mentioned that as one of his fears. One of his fears is this type of scenario of a long-term stock market collapse. We don't know, obviously, if that will come to fruition. We hope it doesn't. But what we do know is that we have seen the stock market sharply correct 20 to 40% in the past. It has happened in the past and it will happen in the future. And this current portfolio that FD has, risk-wise, is way off kilter. He's got a super aggressive, or what I call a hyper-aggressive asset mix. 55 years old, he's got 85% exposure to stocks, and just 14% to bonds and 1% to cash. He is cruising for a bruising. If you're just joining us, again, this is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're doing a portfolio report card for FD in Heartland, Wisconsin. Does his portfolio pass or does it flunk? Well, we're going to see. We've already graded his portfolio in cost, diversification. We already just looked at risk. We will look at tax efficiency and performance and then give him his final grade. Before we do that, I want to mention that we gave you one ageless lesson for NASDAQ 5000. Yes, the NASDAQ did cross 5000. That's the NASDAQ Composite Index this past week. And we told you that the first ageless lesson of NASDAQ 5000 is to sell when you can, not when you're forced to. Well, I'm going to give you the second lesson, which is risk management happens before the fire, with an emphasis on before. Properly executed risk management always happens, always before the fire. Now think about this. If you own a building, you can't buy fire insurance after the joint is already burned to the ground. Likewise, the prudent investor protects their portfolio ahead of crisis, ahead of the downturn, ahead of the collapse, not during the crisis. Financial markets fall faster than they rise. The NASDAQ's bear market that began in 2000 erased $5 trillion in value in just 31 months. How long did it take for the NASDAQ composite to recover? 15 years. It didn't get back to 5,000 until 15 years had passed. Now, the people that bought fire insurance ahead of that collapse were protected. And so this is the way it should be. Your investment portfolio should absolutely have, and I don't care, again, if you're an experienced investor or inexperienced investor, all investment portfolios should have what Ron, and this is the in the context of your overall investment portfolio. Ask yourself, what is my margin of safety? Well, your margin of safety is the money that you cannot afford to lose. And the great Benjamin Graham talked about a margin of safety. He applied that to the selection of individual stocks. Well, I'm applying that same concept, margin of safety, to your personalized investment portfolio. All investors should have a margin of safety. What's yours? I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. We're going to finish off FD's portfolio report card. He's not doing very well so far, but he may bail himself out if he does good in the final two grading categories. We're going to see. So yes, all investors should have a personal margin of safety for the individual investor. What is your margin of safety? Well, it represents the capital or the money that you absolutely cannot afford to risk to potential market losses. This money gets set aside from your core and non-core portfolio to be invested in fixed assets with liquidity and principal protection. Now, having a personal margin of safety besides protecting your assets acts as a psychological buffer. Well, how does it do that, Ron? Well, it keeps you liquid, number one, and it dissuades you from disrupting the rest of your investment plan when things are going haywire. It prevents you from disrupting your investment plan with counterproductive behavior like panic selling, unnecessary trading, and other knee-jerk reactions. So if you're investing without a personal margin of safety, you'll be fine up until the godforsaken day when you're suddenly not. A breadline tells no lies, and that is Ron DeLegge's final ageless lesson for NASDAQ 5000. Always have a personal margin of safety. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. If you'd like to tweet the program, at Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you ever miss our regular radio broadcast for whatever reason, you can pick up our show. It's available on iTunes. Just search under the Index Investing Show. You can also pick us up on Stitcher Radio. We are also on Spreaker. That's Spreaker. You can search for us there and you will find us. Now, we're doing a portfolio report card for FD in Heartland, Wisconsin. He's 55 years old. He's a commercial broker. He's got $381,000 invested in three retirement accounts. Again, that's a one SEP IRA and two traditional IRAs. And we're going to look at the final two portfolio grading categories and then give him his final report card grade of A, B, C, D, or F. So next up is tax efficiency. And this is an important grading category because just like cost, it is up to all of us as individual investors to absolutely minimize to the greatest degree possible the negative impact of taxes. Now, this can be done two ways. Number one, holding or owning tax-efficient types of investment products, like, for example, index ETFs are a perfect example of what we call tax-efficient assets that do not throw off a lot of surprise types of tax situations and also do a very good job at minimizing the annual load of tax distributions that occur typically with mutual funds. So that's one strategy, hold tax-efficient assets. The second strategy is to have what we call smart asset location. So taking tax inefficient asset classes like your bonds and your real estate investment trusts and your commodities, holding those in tax deferred types of accounts makes total sense and will definitely make your tax load a lot lighter. And so those are two simple ways to have tax efficient portfolio. Now for FD, the overall tax efficiency, I have not noticed any problems in this particular area. It's good to see that FD has not made any premature retirement distributions. He's 55 years old, and if he did that, he would subject himself to a 10% IRS penalty, along with he'd obviously pay taxes on that distribution. So that would definitely be a counterproductive type of move. He hasn't done that, though. He also hasn't taken any loans or borrowed against his retirement account. So that is also excellent to see. So in terms of tax efficiency, I think he's done a pretty good job in minimizing the impact of taxes. So very well done, FD. Final portfolio grading category is performance. And performance is obviously the bottom line, but it's not the only line. And that is because performance, good or bad, is directly linked to how well you do in those other areas. How well you minimize cost and taxes, how well you diversify, and how well you manage risk. If you don't do good at those four things, probably it's going to show up in terms of your subpar investment performance. And so in this instance, FD's portfolio grew over the past year. Now remember, he's got a $381,000 portfolio. His portfolio grew $4,749 or 1.3% over the past year. And so how does that compare versus a blended index benchmark matching his same asset mix? Well, our blended index benchmark gained almost 4% versus his 1.3% gain. He underperformed by more than 2.5%, which is unsatisfactory. And the final report card for FD in Heartland, Wisconsin, is a D. This grade means that this portfolio has major structural flaws. And we identified what those flaws were. His cost structure, what he's paying to American Funds, what he's paying to AIG Variable Annuity are through the roof. And his ongoing expenses are just eating him alive. His current cost structure, and I mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to mention it again, if he averages 8% over the next 10 years, he's going to have just under $600,000 versus if he lowered his cost and had something like our annual cost benchmark, which averages under 0.25% of index ETFs, he'd have with that same 8% return with a lower cost structure just over $730,000. That's a huge, huge difference. I mean, we're talking more than almost $140,000 in capital money that would wind up in his pocket instead of someone else's in 10 years. And so that's one of the biggest shortcomings of FD's current portfolio. He also needs to improve on diversification and, of course, risk. I mean, he's got 85% exposure to stocks. That's way too much, way too aggressive for a 55-year-old aggressive investor. He's going to suffer some big-time losses if there's a sharp downturn. And so having something that's a little bit more age-appropriate, it's okay to be aggressive, but have something that's a little bit more age-appropriate, I think would definitely help him to reach his goals and to have a lot less volatility. So thank you, FD, for taking Rhonda Legge's Portfolio Report Card Challenge. And if you'd like to take my challenge, if you get an A, I'll pay you $100. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and get in touch with me. And the Portfolio Report Card marching band is warming up, as they always do. If you get an A, not only do I pay you $100, but I call out the marching band, and this is what they play. So in other words, we've got the tubas, we've got the trombones, we've got the clashing cymbals all ready to be played and smashed. And that is the celebratory music that we play when we get an A, when you get an A for your portfolio report card. And the idea here is to identify the strengths and the weaknesses of your portfolio. I want to get to an email from Mike. Dear Ron, Number one, the correlation between VNQ and bond yields, have they always been inverse? And if so, is ticker symbol TLT, long-term U.S. Treasury bond ETF, the right yardstick? If not, what would be the best gauge? Well, let me just tackle that question. When it comes to correlations and your own asset mix and how you're assembling your portfolio, ignore correlations, because correlations have no relevance to you assembling a diversified portfolio. You want to own different asset classes. Now, sometimes correlations may be high over short periods, but not necessarily over long periods. And so the point is focus on owning different types of asset classes, not correlations. I'm going to have to tackle the rest of your question, Mike, in next week's show, just because we're out of time, and I apologize for that. Ron@indexshow.com is my email address. @IndexShow is my Twitter handle. Thanks for listening. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.